Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the March 11th edition of the Hugh Sports Podcast, episode 60. I am your host, of course, Jake Hughes, alongside the old man. Old man, how the hell are you doing today?
I am almost perfect today.
Almost perfect.
Almost perfect. Can we dedicate this show to my mom, your grandma? It's her birthday today.
We sure can.
Heavenly birthday. So happy birthday, Grandma.
Happy birthday, Grandma.
Yeah, I just thought of that as you said March 11th.
Well, you're welcome.
There you
that's,
go.
That's why I say it at the beginning of every week, so I remember where we are in the months and days, because I can't believe it's already the middle of March.
And I can't believe we've done 60 shows already.
Right?
That's insane.
To be fair, we did 61 shows. We just never released one of them.
What's this we? We recorded it.
We did not release it. We recorded it. Correct. Yes. It's also wild to me because it's the middle of March, and the Canucks news we're talking about is for the most part pretty positive.
Saying a little prayer.
Yep. Yep.
Saying a little prayer. We don't want to get too cocky.
Well, Canucks luck has already struck the Canucks. If you watched the game on Saturday night, as I know both of us did, fantastic game.
Oh, it was amazing.
Fantastic start. The Canucks took advantage of a very tired, clearly tired Winnipeg Jets team.
Don't use that as an excuse. We've been really tired. Come on. We just kicked their ass.
We jumped on them early and we made them pay for coming out slow.
Yes, we did. And you know what? That first 20 minutes, I think it was Wyatt Arndt that posted on the stanchion that was probably the best 20 minutes of hockey he's seen the Canucks play so far this season.
It's been incredible. It was incredible. The amount of pressure we had up on the Jets, and just the nonstop pressure that the Canucks had. It was a complete game
from top to
bottom. And this next man up mentality is all the way through the lineup, including all the way down to our goaltenders, as Demko leaves early in the second, about 5 minutes into the second period.
Yeah.
And DeSmith comes in, and I missed what the announcers had talked about. All of a sudden, I just see DeSmith putting on, like, getting into the net. So I text you.
And I'm not going to go on a rant.
Okay.
But. Why can't we get some freaking decent freaking announcers for Saturday night late games?
Because, again, and I'm going to harp on this until you maybe you'll understand it. They want some people who are very unbiased.
But it was the highlight of the night. It was like the marquee game of the night. It was the two teams that are fighting for first.
And Demko takes the puck and passes it out to Hughes. And Hughes takes the puck up to the blue line and throws it to Besser.
Demko has an... If I heard that son of a bitch say he has an answer, he answered one more time during that podcast. During that broadcast, I was going to reach through the TV and bitch slap him because holy crap, come up with something new, dude. Anyway.
Well, I mean, everyone in media has their fallbacks. Like, I always start the show the same way. There's a reason for that.
Yes.
But when you're talking in a monotone voice and you're clearly bored by the game, maybe you should not be putting these people onto the show. And there's no chemistry between Louis DeBrusque and this guy. I say this guy because I can't remember his name, and I don't want to butcher it because it is a very complicated name to read.
Yes.
But just get people who are excited to call the game.
Exactly. Yes, I agree.
Like they used to, and I don't know why they stopped. They used to take the play-by-play guy from one team and the color commentator from the other team and mash them together for...
Oh, really?
For the broadcast.
That'd be cool.
that, to me, that's the best solution. Like, you have, okay, you have your Winnipeg Jets play-by-play guy who's going to be a little bit more biased towards the Jets and know everything that's going on with the Jets. But yeah, then you're going to have Dave Tomlinson, who's at almost every single Canucks game, knows all the storylines there, balances everything out.
Yeah.
It's just wild to me that you can't have, you don't have announcers that are just balanced.
Anyway, you asked the question, and that's what made me go on this rant about the announcers. And that's why I went on a rant, because the announcers really didn't say much until, like, they didn't even show Demko leaving the bench. And all of a sudden you got this new, you got DeSmith in the net. And you're
it happened during, to be fair to them, it did happen during a commercial break.
But when you come back from the commercial break, that's big freaking news, people. Breaking news.
What are you talking about? They did that right away. It was literally, they came, that's how I missed it, because they came back from commercial and the volume was down because the commercials are so bloody loud. And they came back and it was like, Demko, they had no reasoning. They were just like, oh, DeSmith's in the net. We don't know what's going on.
And that was it.
But if the team's not going to announce anything, the team still hasn't announced anything.
No,
we're 2 days removed from that.
It's playoff time.
But as per Rick Dhaliwal, I'm going to pull up the tweet here. I'm going to pull it up because I want to make sure I read it properly. It's a best case scenario for the Canucks. He will likely miss less than a month. And I believe it was Farhan Lolji who also confirmed that he's hearing the same thing. And that it's a knee issue, not a groin issue, which he's dealt with in the past.
Oh,
and that
really?
It's not an injury he's ever dealt with before. So it's not something that's just a nagging injury. This is something new.
Because they were saying, who was it? There was somebody that was tweeting out as this was going on, as the game was going on, that they saw him grimacing, actually, in...
That was friend of the show, Jeff Patterson.
Yes, and during warm-up, he was grimacing during warm-up, and it was like, oh, crap, that's crazy.
Yeah. It's one of those things where it's just like, how does that happen? Like, he's the only one who tweeted about it, too. Like, he tweeted about it, and that was the only person I saw mentioning it, even talking about it, until the injury happened. Then everyone was citing J-Pat on it.
Yeah, exactly. So it'll be interesting. I mean, if it's just a knee, that's the best case scenario. Cause I was really concerned this was a nagging injury and that we dealt with in the past and is growing. And I was like, oh, here we go. This is bad.
Yeah. So again, and listening to Rick Dhaliwal explain it, it's best case scenario. This is them being like, we're crossing our fingers, we're hoping for it, but there's no guarantees that it's anything. And that's why they had the team, according to Dhaliwal and Lalji, that's why they're not announcing anything, because they're still waiting for the official diagnosis.
Yeah.
Right? So waiting for that official diagnosis, it might be, like, if this happened a week ago, I'm way happier.
Because then you can, if you need it, you can make that big trade for a goaltender.
Four weeks is easily stretched into 6 weeks. You don't even need to make a big trade. You just need to, I mean, we saw Vanecek. There's a handful of goalies out there that wouldn't have costed us a lot.
No.
But bring them in, and then it gives us cap space. If Demko, it's like Demko could be back for before the end of the season, okay, then we don't go out and go big. But if it's a 6 week injury, okay, Demko's back for game one, game two, because we're not Vegas. But
sorry, Jeff McCleary, I said it's the best case scenario. I didn't just say, oh, it's just a knee. Get over it, princess. Suck it up.
Just a knee.
I don't know if he still plays goalie. And did you used to play goalie? Something tells me you used to play goalie back when you were a young fart and could actually skate still. Don't spew that pop over the microphone. DeSmith will be fine. Jeff, here, let's put this one up because
yeah,
this is, I agree. DeSmith will be fine. Demko needed a rest anyway. Totally agree. I wish we would have done this before and we could have put his salary on LITR and brought in a big name. And oh, we're going to talk about that later.
Yeah, again, it would have been nice if it happened 3 days earlier, but it didn't.
Yes.
It's DeSmith is a very competent backup and has played very well for us.
Not worried whatsoever, to be honest. I would be worried if it was a repeating injury.
Well, and just on top of that, we talked about it last week. We don't have any back-to-backs until the beginning of April.
Yeah.
We're home. We're home for another 8 games straight.
Exactly. This is,
if there's a time for someone to get injured, this is the time to do it. Even if it's a month. Like, think about it. Even if it's a month and we... Instead of playing I have the standings up. They don't show point percentage on here. God damn it.
We're at 689 or something, weren't we?
Something like that. Even if we're at a 550, a 508, a 510 win percentage, that's still going to get us first place in the Pacific.
Might not get us first place in the conference.
I don't care about that. I don't care if we win the President's Trophy. Who cares?
I said conference.
Yeah, but if we're not winning the conference, we're not winning the President's Trophy.
Yeah, I know, but first place in the conference guarantees you home ice advantage up into the Stanley Cup.
Yes. Right?
Yes. So, it would be nice to have that. I mean, it'd be nice to have home ice during the whole entire playoffs, but we know what happens when people win the President's Trophy, Boston.
Really, I don't care about. No. Like, there's not a lot of. My brain is doing the things. Give it a second. There's not a lot of prestige to winning in North American sports to winning the regular season. No. I think it's something we should look at as North American sports organizations because we should be changing that. It should be a big accomplishment to win an 82 game season, or in baseball, 162 game season, but no one cares.
No,
win me the World Series, win me the Stanley Cup, win me the Grey Cup, the Lombardi Trophy. I don't know what they call it in basketball. Regular season doesn't matter.
What do they call it in basketball?
I don't know.
Okay, chat. What do they call the championship in basketball? NBA championship? Or do they have a name for that trophy? We should know that as sports reporters, we should know this stuff, Jake.
Larry O'Brien Championship.
There you go. There you go.
Figured it out. We figured it out.
Anyways, I think we're fine. Let's get them healthy and get them rested and hit that playoff hot.
Yeah. The worst case scenario is if it's over a month, and he's not able to get a couple games back before the playoffs. That'd be my biggest concern. Is I'd ideally, and I'm sure the team's thinking the same way, get fully healed, even if you'd need to take a little bit of extra time than you normally would. But if you can get 2 games before playoffs, that'd be ideal.
Yeah, because they say I'm within the month. So if he's back by the 10th, then the 8th of April, we can play the Knights, Coyotes, Oilers.
Right. And there's.
I mean, yeah, you can get 4 or 5 games in there.
If it's like if you say a month and you come back by the 8th, I'm even saying take that extra week, come back on the 15th or the 13th against Edmonton if it's a very important game.
Yes.
Right. Like if that's to determine who wins the Pacific, Demko's probably back no matter what for that game.
Yeah, I agree. I agree.
But we. Anything else about Demko before we jump into the week that was with the NHL?
Nope, I'm good.
All right, all right. Trade deadline was this past Friday. I was going to plan to go live if there was some big breaking trades. I was live tweeting throughout the day. I had all these plans, and then Jim Rutherford and Patrick Alvin said, have fun breaking all of our trades, and proceeded to not trade or sign anyone.
I know. It was like, I mean, I'm not disappointed, to be honest, after sitting back and having a week to kind of take a breath and, or a weekend.
Weekend. It was Friday, so yeah.
Yeah, it was Friday. It feels like a long time ago. So much has happened to me in my life since then. Anyway, it was after having the weekend to think about it and kind of look at everything, I'm not upset they didn't go after some of these guys. I mean, there was that one trade that made no sense, and I'm sorry, I can't remember it.
Tyler Toffoli.
Toffoli, that was just like, why did they give him away? What's wrong?
They weren't going to sign him. That was the biggest thing.
Yes.
Everyone knew they weren't going to sign them. But the return just
doesn't make sense. Why didn't we step up to the plate on that one?
Because we would have needed a third team to come in to make the cap space work.
Yes. And that's our biggest problem right now is cap space, right? Because we didn't cheat. I mean, we didn't use loopholes in the salary cap to hide players' salaries. I mean, they were really sick. Ask the GM. Ask the coach. They're really
sick. We'll get into that after we talk about the lack of movement.
So, yeah, I mean, I'm not disappointed. I mean, this team is good. What we saw on Saturday night proved it.
And Dom brings up a good point here from the comments here. It was a weak market, and why fix what's not broken? Teams are making adjustments around us. And it was one of those things where in the moment it's like, okay, everyone's literally, I think I tweeted out that the Pacific Division, the West as a whole, was basically a nuclear arms race. And it felt like the Canucks did absolutely nothing in that. Yeah, but everyone is trying to catch the Canucks. Like, we don't need to be going out there and make these moves because we're the ones setting the pace.
Yep.
Right? So I think it's a really good point brought up by Dom. It's a weak market. Why fix it? Why fix anything?
And it wasn't like we had to do it. Would have been nice to get that third line scoring player. Yeah, probably it would have been.
Or get someone who can play like a play with Petey. And move Suter back down to the third line. Like, just adds more depth, but we have the pieces.
Exactly. I'm happy with this team going into the playoffs. Would I have liked to seen some changes? Sure, of course I would. But
every team.
Oh my God, we have to do this.
Well, and it's also not like Jim Rutherford and Elvin weren't doing anything. It's not like they had the press conference before the trade deadline was up and said, we're not doing anything, we don't need to. From all accounts, they were busy working the phones. They just weren't willing to pay the prices and weren't willing to make the moves that were needed to make those moves.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree.
Right? I have no problem with that being the case.
No, you know what? We're all in. I played poker yesterday and we're all in. We have the nuts. At least we thought we did until the river card. And the river card hasn't come yet. We're just on the flop.
I would say we're pre-flop.
We're probably really. Pre-flop, yes.
We're pre-flop. We're pre-flop in position. If you know poker, we're pre-flop in position.
And we have ace king of diamonds.
Yeah. Now we need to get into the playoffs and win four series. It's not the best possible hand,
but it's damn good.
Yeah.
Right?
Hell, I mean, you could call like a pot pair of aces or a pair of jacks with a runner straight draw.
Yeah.
If you're missing that, Dom is asking, was there really a possibility of a darkest timeline trading PD to the Canes?
No. What are you talking about?
So the reason
just because it's legal doesn't mean you need to do it all day long.
But what he's talking about is that the reason Petey signed supposedly got everything moving into the direction of getting Pease and PD to sign was there was a trade that came from Carolina.
There was interest from Carolina for sure.
No, there was more than that. It confirmed by multiple sources that there was a legitimate trade offer put forward to Alvin and Rutherford that forced them to go to Patterson camp and say, we need to know. We don't need to know if you're like, we don't need you to sign right now. We just need to know what your goals are.
What would that trade be? Did anybody ever come out and actually say the players involved?
Not the exact players, but supposedly it centered around two young prospects, a first round pick, multiple other picks, and multiple prospects. They were saying 6 or 7 piece deal for Petey. And if you're Alvin and Rutherford and you go to Pettersson and say, hey, if you don't need to sign right now, but are you planning on signing? No. Okay. We have a deal that we really need to discuss.
Yeah.
We might be trading you then.
It's pretty simple, right?
So I'm glad that came out. I also wonder how much of it was Jim Rutherford's been in this league a long time and has had a lot of influence, a lot of people in front offices. Was that a, hey, if you do this, we owe you one? Put this out and leak it to someone?
Yeah. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge. Well, what it was, again, Wyatt Hart. I just love his Twitter. Guys, if you're not following, guys and girls, if you're not following Wyatt Hart on Twitter, is it the Stanchion or just Stanchion?
Let me pull it up here. I will double check.
He has the best tweets because he said the best part of the trade deadline is watching teams' insiders throw out trade speculations like it didn't come from the team.
At the Stanchion.
At the Stanchion. The Stanchion. He started this. He was on the show. He started the Twitter handle in 2011, obviously. But yeah, it's obviously they're being fed. There's certain reporters that have the ears of the GM, and they use that.
Of course they do. And
just like every business out there does. If, hey, we need to raise our stock a little bit, we better whisper.
Well, not just that, but look at all these initiatives that companies do. Do you think they do that just for the goodness out of their heart? No, they get positive PR out of it, which then it turns in more sales, which turns in more money in their pockets.
It's amazing.
Speaking of more money in people's pockets.
Did we get more money in our pockets?
We did not.
Oh.
But you know who did get a little bit richer?
Who?
A team that has bought a cup. A team that's fan base is insufferable. Their media is the absolute worst. And their general manager should be blackballed from any trade by every single GM in the league. Because Vegas has taken this LTIR cap circumvention to the next goddamn level. They have almost $16 million on LTIR.
Do you want me to read the quote, or can you read the quote that you sent me? Because literally, I'm at work, my first day at the new job, which I'll talk about later, and Jake sends me this quote, and I swear to God, the top of my head blew off.
Which one? The ridiculous to suggest our injuries aren't serious, says Kelly McCrimmon.
Carry on.
I'm getting a quote here from him. So he's appeared on the Jeff Merrick show today, 5 hours ago today. And this is a direct quote. Google lacerated spleen and see if you can tell me when a player is going to be back. Referring to the ailment that sidelined Mark Stone since late February. It's ridiculous to suggest that these weren't significant injuries or aren't significant injuries. Furthermore, the NHL polices all of this. The rules are the rules. The NHL watches this carefully.
No, they don't.
LTIR is collectively bargained between the Players Association and the NHL. The idea behind it is if you have a player suffer a significant injury, you can replace that player. Obviously, from there, it's the timing of the injuries. So you're just telling me that back-to-back years, someone making $9 million happens to be injured and is going to come back. If he skates on day one of the NHL playoffs, they should be investigated and fined and sanctioned by the league.
Can I make my suggestion?
Yeah,
I know a lot of people probably won't like what I have to say. I'm literally bringing on a goon. That's his only job. If I'm playing Vegas in the first round, and I'm taking him out. I'm taking him out. You want to fuck around? Let's fuck around. I hate this. This has been a thorn in my side for the last few years. Jake actually brought it up that the Canucks actually did it in 2011, which I wasn't aware of. But
Sammy, it's Alex. It allowed us to bring in a bunch of players, but Sammy Salo was out. All of a sudden, Alex Edler was out. Sammy Salo got injured, and miraculously on the same day, Edler was ready to come back, and Salo was. It's one time. Okay.
But you've got. You know there's this loophole. You know this guy literally laughed in Bettman's face with that interview. Because he said, oh, well, he has a busted spleen. Do you know how long that takes? And then he went on to say, we're just using the loophole that the league put in there. He literally said it.
So, now, I have a question for every single person listening right now. This gets closed. This gets figured out in the next CBA next year. Whenever, I don't know when the CBA is up. I think it's in a couple years. It gets wrapped up. Does Vegas get sanctioned for this?
No, of course not.
No, they've set precedent on this, and you bet your damn ass I will be on fucking Bettman's phone every single day until he answers it.
Because what happened? Tell us a story, Jake.
Because we got sanctioned for a contract that was completely legal within the bounds of the CBA, and we found a loophole with Roberto Luongo. Roberto Luongo retired, not even on our team. And we had to pay a recapture penalty. Now, the same deals that Suter and I can't remember the Wild player, they both signed super long-term deals right at the last possible moment when they could. They bought them out, and there's not a fucking thing. The league said, oh, we'll forgive you for that. It's okay. You signed, those were signed a long time ago. It's okay. You're an American team. It's fine. But bet your ass if that was Calgary, Edmonton, Winnipeg, Toronto, Ottawa, or Montreal, or Vancouver, that there's a cap recapture penalty. And it's absolutely asinine to assume that a team out there has $16 million of LTIR space that they're now using, meaning for someone to be reactivated, they need to put someone else on LTIR to make it sure they're within the cap.
Or cut somebody.
No. If you cut someone, you have to have very good reasons to do so.
Oh, really?
You have to send them down. You have to send them down, and all these people have to go through waivers. You have to make up all that space.
Wow.
So they've literally committed to Mark Stone not returning until the playoffs.
So I am going to put it out there to all the other teams. I know you're not listening because we only have... We have 50 people listening today. I just had to mention it. We have 50 people listening today, which is really cool for us. I want to thank each and every one of you 50. But I want to put it out in the universe. Please, every team that's playing Vegas, play it like your life depends on it. Do not let them win. Wouldn't it be awesome if they didn't make the playoffs? I would laugh so hard.
Recovery from a ruptured spleen can take anywhere from 3 to 12 weeks.
He looked at it. He had to Google it. That's awesome.
So let's take the middle here and say 6 weeks. Let's take 6 weeks here. 6 weeks here from late February, right? Let's give him benefit of the doubt. Let's say the 15th of February is when he got injured. Right?
Yeah, okay.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So, I was in January. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. So, the end of March is when he could be back. If you chose the middle date for a ruptured spleen. Now we're talking about athletes who are in the best shape of their lives. They are the peak, some of the peak physical specimens in society.
Yes.
And you're telling me it's going to take him the longest end of a ruptured spleen? I'm sorry. I can't believe it.
All the other presidents, general managers, owners, you got to remember, Bettman isn't in charge here. Bettman answers to the owners.
No, not in Bettman's league. He's been around longer than any of these owners.
But they have to get together and they have to go to him, because I can guarantee you the majority of the owners are looking over at Vegas going, what the living hell is going on?
It's asinine. How are you supposed to compete with a team whose cap space is supposed to be $83.5 million and they're spending $98
million? Yeah.
Literally, I'm looking at here, 83.5, and they're spending 98.635.
How fair is that to the rest of the league? It just doesn't make sense.
If you're going to do that, that's cool. Bring in the luxury tax like they have in the NBA, where you have a soft cap, and every dollar you spend over this is taxed at a higher rate, which then goes to the Arizonas, to the San Jose, to the teams that need it.
Exactly. Yes, D, I totally agree with you. D says karma, play fair. 100%.
Karma will be them missing the playoffs.
Oh, God, please, please, please. Put it out to the universe. Put my other hat on.
So Dom talked about it. He commented here, I believe that there are teams in this league deliberately not taking advantage. Looking specifically at the Rangers and Canucks, trying to win so they have a leg to stand on when they push to get the loophole closed.
Exactly. Like, look,
we did it. We didn't have to put anyone on LTIR. No. Like, the Canucks do have someone who's on LTIR, like, but they've been on there for two seasons now and will be there for the last two seasons of their contract. Tucker Poolman will probably never play hockey again.
Right?
It's cheaper for us. I think at this point, it's cheaper for us to keep him on contract, buried as LTIR, than it is for us to buy him out.
Oh, yeah, 100%.
So, but that's not taking advantage of that. That's literally what it's there for.
Deep breath.
And to think, Tampa Bay, who started this, the most recent bout of this, of it being heinous with Sergachev.
Heinous! He used the word heinous, folks.
But they were the ones who, after the 2011 run... Their ownership group went to the league at the meetings and said, at the board of governors meetings, and said, this loophole needs to get closed. And every owner was like, no, it's not abusable. It's fine.
Yeah.
And then they abused it and everyone was like, oh, all up in arms about it. And they're like, we tried to close this loophole. You guys told us that you guys wouldn't let us. So we took advantage. And now it's getting to the point where I don't think there's combined $16 million of actual money being paid to like the top three lines of Arizona. And Vegas has that on their injured reserve.
Yeah.
They have another $13 million in non-long-term injured reserve. And let me guess, I'm just going to throw this out here. If Mark Stone decides to come back at $9.5 million, that all of a sudden Alec Martinez and Tomas Hertl will get put onto long-term injured reserve. Shocking how that will work.
Isn't this an easy fix? Really? I mean, all they have to do is go, the salary cap counts in the playoffs.
100%.
Problem solved.
Yep.
That's just simple. We're not talking about rewriting the Players Association, the CBA. I was trying to think. Is that the right word? It's literally a simple one-liner.
They literally would need to ratify a brand new CBA to do that.
Then do it. I bet you the large majority of the teams, of the players, of the owners would agree.
Yep.
Because everybody's pissed about this. Like, no matter what fan base you're listening to, it's not just Canuck fan bases that are mad. How about that cool hoodie, by the way? Isn't that the coolest hoodie? It's everybody.
Everyone's upset about it. But I think the Canucks fans are out here looking for blood. Oh. Because if there's not a punishment to the Golden Noodles for this, it just goes to show that they indeed did buy a championship.
Yes.
And they're Gary Bettman's little precious egg that they're not going to allow to be touched.
And, you know, I get so tired of Vegas fans going, we did nothing illegal. We didn't do anything illegal. We're just taking
advantage. You bought a fucking team. You guys had the most advantageous expansion draft in the history of professional sports.
Even more so, like, you had Vegas expansion draft, and then the next year, was it the next year Seattle came in, or a year after?
2 years.
2 years later, you had Seattle come in, and they didn't get the same deal.
No, you know what? Well, they did get the same deal, but the GMs got smart about it.
Yes.
But why did Vegas get that opportunity? Oh, is it potentially because they wanted to be the first team in the market, build up a fan base, and be really, really good, so that way when the NBA, the MLB, and NFL come to Vegas, that all of a sudden there's still going to be a fan base there? Let's think about that for a second.
100%, because...
What has Gary Bettman tried to make work for years and has failed? Hockey in a team in a non-traditional market actually work. And he's managed to do it with the Vegas Golden Noodles by giving them every single advantage that the NHL could.
Exactly. Question is, I guess, to end this, because we could go on and on
also,
for an
yes,
hour.
Dom does bring up a good point. Vegas was also exempt from that draft for the Kraken.
Yes. Yes, they were.
Let's release that negative energy.
I guess that's... how do you end this? What needs to happen?
There's two ways to do it. There's two ways to do it. Either A, you bring in there's a salary cap in the playoffs.
Yes.
But the problem is the players aren't played for their playoff games. They're only paid for the regular season. That's why there is no salary cap in the playoffs. So does their AAV change because you're adding more games? That would be
Yeah.
Right? So does that change your salary cap calculations? Or is it just because the salary cap as we know it is $83.5 million for the year, but it's actually broken down to a daily salary cap?
Or is it a case of putting in something where if you don't play game 82, you're up for the playoffs?
The problem is, okay, but what happens if there's a legitimate injury that takes someone out in game 81?
Okay, let me rephrase that. If you're on LTIR when the season ends, you're done.
I'd be okay with that. It's a safety precaution. We don't want you coming back too early.
Right? There has to be a way to put this into play that I would love for next season starts. And who was it that McKinnon was on with?
Jeff Merrick.
We'll be able to roll that frickin' quote up and shove it right up his...
The greatest way for that to happen is for us all as fans to
voice
cheer
our
for.
Opinion.
No. Well, not just that, but I pulled this up for a specific reason. We need to be cheering for Minnesota, Seattle, and Calgary.
Oh, God, yes.
Because those are the three teams chasing. It's a long shot. It is. But it's doable.
And Vegas has been playing like crap.
They finally won one.
Yeah, but they've been playing like crap.
The last five, they're 1-5 or 1-4. Sorry.
What are they last 10?
Let me find out.
They are not good. I remember seeing it, and I went, "Oh yeah." I think they're 8-1. Can't do math.
8-1. Let's find out. Let's go here. The Vegas Golden Noodles are in the last 10, 3-6-1.
There we go.
So
crap.
But. Yeah, like, again, Kraken, Flames, Wild need to turn it up and turn it up quick.
Yes, they do.
If they want to catch them.
Can we talk about the Flames? We won't beat up on
We've already got enough to talk about today.
Yes.
Let's talk about the Canucks.
Let's get some positivity going now.
Positivity going on because...
Screw you, Vegas.
According to our lovely friends at Money Puck, the Vancouver Canucks have a 100% chance to make the playoffs. Now, that doesn't mean they've clinched a playoff spot.
No.
That is based off of projections and how they've been playing and how everyone else has been playing, that there is 0% chance that they fall off of making the playoffs. It's different than clinching.
We should have fireworks going off. Come on, people. Think back. Jake and I came on the air in September, October, I guess, middle of October when the season started. And we made our predictions, and both of us were like, we just want to make it to playoffs. And if we make it to the playoffs, we'll be very, very happy.
And now we're looking at it, again, according to the Money Puck website, who I trust very highly, 63.3% chance of making it to round two, a 35% chance of making it to round three, an 18.2% chance of making it to the final, and a 9.7% chance that I will have a new tattoo come late June, mid-June.
Would we do like matching tattoos?
I'm getting a banner on my calf.
I don't know if I'll do that.
I don't care what you do. You already got a tattoo, so now it's not like your first tattoo, but the day after when we're hung over as shit and we can't speak, we're going to go into a tattoo shop and say, we need this because we can't talk and we're hung over as shit.
It'll be fun. Oh, my goodness.
But speaking about the Canucks, we're streaking again. 4-0.
Streaking!
In the last four games.
And they we've called looked it the well streak.
What? Love it.
It's an old song. Never mind. Carry on. Jeff McCleary would know what I'm talking about.
You can't just interrupt us talking to with your old songs.
I just did.
Four wins in the last four games. There's that little blip there where it kind of felt like the world was falling and everything was terrible and we made it through and we're at 4-0 and now Demko's injured again. And Mike,
you mean that one week where we played three games and we got 4 points out of the three games?
Well, yeah, but that's very low in comparison to what we normally get. All right. We've been spoiled. We've been spoiled here this year.
We have.
And you brought this to my attention. Actually, Jeff Patterson brought it to your attention and brought it to
Jeff
my
Patterson, heart. I mean, he's another one to follow if you want to follow some Canucks on Twitter, some Canucks insiders on Twitter.
So this was ice time by centers in the first period of the game on Saturday against the Winnipeg Jets. Bluger had 6 minutes, 11 seconds. Miller had 5 minutes and 5 seconds. Lindholm had 4 minutes, 36 seconds. And Pettersson, the low man on the totem pole, at 4 minutes, 20 seconds.
Now, the big thing to note here is there was no penalties.
No penalties, so there
I
was
think
no...
the first penalty came in the second, or maybe late in the first. No, it was into the second, I think.
It was into the second.
Or was it even into the third?
I want to say it was a second.
Okay.
I can look it up.
What the whole point of bringing this up was, is... When we go up on a team like we did on Saturday night against Winnipeg, why not rest our top lines? I mean, I don't know what – I'd like to see what Pettersson's full minutes were for the game, and I'd love to see what Hughes's and Hronek's full –
Pettersson, I have them right here. So
do you? Go ahead.
Lindholm finished the night with 20 minutes and 2 seconds. He was the high man on the totem pole. Oh, no, sorry. That's per time on ice per game. Sorry. Looking at the wrong spot.
Looking at the wrong spot, he says.
Why did it take me here? I hate the NHL website sometimes.
NHL website sucks, apparently, folks.
I don't think it sucks. I think I might have just hit the wrong button. But
it's a great idea. And I love that he brought it out and he posted this because it just made me go, yeah, like, let's rest them. We've played them hard for the first 50, 60 games. we've got a good enough lead now. Let's get a lead in a game. And then we can cut them back because we can trust the Blugers, the Millers, to take over. We don't have to keep Miller and Pettersson as many minutes as they have been getting.
So yeah, let's go through this. So Blueger, high man on the center totem pole with 1756.
Nice.
Pettersson, 1603. Miller, 1555. And Lindholm, 1429. So really did balance them out coming down the stretch.
It did.
But there was penalties.
I was going to say, but a lot of that had was probably penalty times. Do they separate that at all? Do they?
They don't.
Oh, okay. Because I know a lot of times, I mean, Pettersson and Miller will play a minute 50 seconds in a 2 minute penalty.
Yeah. So right? It wasn't until the second that there was a penalty.
Yeah. Okay. So there you go. So I hope they keep this up. Sorry, I lost my name, the coach's name.
Talk it
keeps this up because I like it. And I never noticed it until it was tweeted out. So I thought, well, let's bring it up and talk about it.
No, he's been really good with that this year. Like if you look at I pulled it up and I was looking at the wrong spot, but Blueger has the most time on ice per game.
Yeah.
Because he plays penalty kill. He doesn't play power play, but he's being put into positions where he is the second highest or the highest on a game where we blow them out because we have a lot of those games. When we win and we blow teams out, it's easy to throw Blueger in confidently for half the game.
Well, because and he can shut a team down. Like his line, give me who the lines again.
Blueger has been playing with Mikheyev. Yeah, Mikheyev and Garland.
Yeah, they can literally shut a team down. I mean, there were so many times during that Winnipeg game where Winnipeg players couldn't breathe without a Canuck sitting on their app, right? Yep. So hopefully, let's keep it up. This is fun. 4-0 again. Let's go.
It keeps, again, every time I'm like, okay, like, we're coming back to reality. Then we do 1-1-1 where it's like, oh my God, we haven't won more games than we lost. And then we go 4-0 and it's like, oh no, we're still a good team.
We're good. It's okay.
Sorry. I'm looking up a stat here. Cause I was looking at it earlier today. We are in the top 7% of goals for in the NHL.
It's insane.
Skating speed, we are one of the slowest teams in the league.
Really?
At actual like top speeds, max speeds, yeah.
That surprises me, eh?
So our top speed, the league average is 23.54 miles per hour. Everything's in miles per hour because it's American stats. We're 23.36 miles per hour. So 0.2, like it doesn't sound like much, but when you're skating, 0.2 miles per hour is a huge difference.
Yeah, it is.
I started digging around. NHL finally put out some of their edge data that they've been compiling over the last year and a bit and has made it more publicly available. The stats in here are fantastic for someone like me who loves these. Like we spend 42.9% of our time at even strength or at all strengths in the offensive zone.
So even strength, we spend 42% of our time in the opponent's zone.
Yeah. 39.9% in the defensive zone, and the neutral zone is 17.9%.
Okay. What do you do for a living? I keep track of times. I'm a time management guy.
They don't even do that anymore.
Who does this?
They have trackers on their skates.
No.
Did you not hear about this a couple years ago when they started implementing this? And the pucks, they had to recall all sorts of pucks because the pucks weren't freezing properly because there's a chip in the puck. So there's a chip in the puck that literally tracks all of this for you now. So all you have to do is literally make it in a digestible format. So I, an idiot, can look at these stats.
Wow.
They have...
insane.
Like when they show those speeds on the broadcasts from Sportsnet, that's reading from that puck in real time.
Wow. I thought it was just a radar gun.
No, folks, it used to be.
The old man learned something new. You know what's going to happen now, don't you, Jake?
They're going to change that. And
no. What happens when the old man learns something new?
Oh, you forgot something that's probably important. As you get older, yeah, I think your brain...
I'm good.
Well, that's... Thank God for that, everyone. Thank God for that. But no, so if you are a stats nerd like myself, edge.nhl.com, you can look at any stat for every team. You can look at it for individual goalies, for individual skaters. You can compare different players. It's fantastic.
That's cool. Where do you see that?
It's called edge.nhl.com.
Cool.
So, if you are a nerd like myself, you can go in there and do that. Now, old man, are you ready?
I'm ready. I'm ready. Let's do it.
It's time for the old man predictions. How well did he do? Do do da, do dee do.
Yes, it is time for the old man predictions. How well did he do? Doo-dee-da, doo-dee-doo. Well, you predicted that we'd go one... No, do not start with me on this bullshit you started before we started streaming. You predicted we'd go 1-1-1 last week, and we went 3-0, which means you again. No, let me get through this. You were completely wrong.
No.
Yet again. Hold it. 2 weeks. Hold. 2 weeks in a row. 2 weeks in a row that you are completely wrong, and he's going to have some cockamamie idea.
I'm putting him in timeout. What had happened was I mixed up the weeks. So this week was supposed to be the 3-0, and the last week was supposed to be... So really, I'm still perfect.
You know what? Whatever helps you sleep at night, old man... I hope when I'm as old as you and my mind starts to go and I'm just as confident in saying things as you are, because you're just making things up now.
Jake, what was my prediction last week?
1-1-1 after we went 1-1-1 the week before.
No. I mean, like, what was my... This week, my prediction was 1-1-1.
The week before that, it was 3-0.
So what happened? We went 3-0 this week and we went 1-1-1 the week before. Still the same.
Yeah, but I mean,
the same amount of points.
You're not wrong, and I hate admitting that you're not wrong, and technically you're right, and that hurts me to say, but you are wrong still.
But at the end of the 2 week period, do we not have the same amount of points?
But you're not predicting for a 2 week period; you're predicting the week.
Technicalities.
Technicalities. So just to keeping up for everyone, up to everyone, up to date, the old man predicted that we'd go 25-8-3 for the remaining of the season, and we have gone 12-6-2. So we need to go on a bit of a run here for the old man to keep being close in this 16 production.
16 games left.
16 games left, and we need to go 13-2-1.
So we could do that, really, when you look at it. 16 games left, right? We could win 4 more in a row.
Yeah, just easy, win 4 in a row. You know, right? No big deal.
We just did it.
Yep.
Did we not? We won. We're 4-0 now. Yeah, we did. So I had to think about that. So we win 4 more in a row. Yep. Then we could lose one.
Okay.
Then we win 4 more in a row.
Oh, okay. We're just going to do it in stacks of 4 now.
And then we'll lose one.
Okay.
And then we'll lose this last game in overtime. Boom, done.
It's gross that there's only that many games left. Like, it's wild to think about that we're that close to being at the end of the season.
I think I missed 1-4, though.
I don't know what you did. I stopped listening halfway through.
Actually, no, the last one only has to be 3. So we have to go 4, lose 1, 4, lose 1, because that's 10.
Yeah, that's 10. That's 10.
And we got how many games left?
16.
And then we go 3.
That's 13.
And that's 25. And then we tie the one and we're good. It's fucking simple.
Yeah. You know what, guys? If you are looking for a hockey coach, this is your guy. It's simple. You just win 4 in a row and you lose one. then you win four in a row and you lose one, then you only win three in a row and then you lose one in overtime, and that is what you need to do.
Won't you at the end of the season, what should we make Jake do if it's a big if now, we go 25-8-3, Jake should have to do something. I'm thinking streaming in a bikini is a...
I've done it before, and I've done it for way better causes, but I'll do it again.
No, we would. I don't. Nobody wants to see that on a sports podcast.
I was thinking maybe like shave. If we end precisely 25-8-3, I'll shave my head on stream.
Oh God, help us! No, because you're going away. I can't make you do that. Don't be giving me the look.
Why does it matter if I'm going away?
Because you got to look like a human when you go away. I've seen you bald. It's not a pretty sight, dude.
Yeah, it's because you gave me like a 12 head. I think it goes all the way back to here as it is.
That's a 5 head, dude. That's not a 4 head.
But let's get your prediction for this week. Clearly, we need to go on another 4-game win streak. And that starts as we take on the Avalanche and the Capitals this week. That's right. There's only 2 games this week.
This is easy, guys. This is like, hold on. I want to confer. Okay. Hold on. I'm conferring.
Confer all you want.
Okay. We decided we're going to go 2-0.
We're going to go 2-0.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
We're going to go 2-0. Take it to the bank.
We don't have a game until Wednesday, and then we have a game Saturday. So there are multiple days off in between each game, which is kind of nice, a nice breather. But it's going to be weird having like only 2 games in a week.
Yeah.
It'll almost feel like we're missing things. But we're coming up to the end of the season already.
It's been fun, dude.
It has been fun, but which means I'm going to throw out a little teaser for those who were with us last year. We did a contest. We did a fan interaction, and we had one winner. And we're probably going to do something again, very similar. So keep your eyes tuned. Check us out at HughesSports.ca. You can check us out on socials at HSP_pod on Facebook, on X or Twitter or whatever it is you do want to call it. You can find us there. You can follow the old man at OldManHSP. You can follow me at J Streams, J-E-H Streams. Unless you have something else you wanted to bring up before we run away, old man.
Yes. Can I say goodbye? No. I had mentioned that it's been a big weekend. It seems like it's been forever since Friday. One of the main reasons for that is I was made an offer to kind of jump ship from selling cars and move into selling recreational vehicles of all types. So I don't work for Eastside Key anymore. I'm now with Rangeland RV. And if you're looking to buy an RV, and I don't care if you're in Tuktoyaktuk or you're in Newfoundland or you're on Vancouver Island, give me a shout. I can help you out.
What about Alaska? How about Alaska? Is that in between those places?
Well, that's in the U.S. I'm not sure how that works.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I was just throwing it out.
In Canada, I can sell too pretty confidently. I'm not sure. Well, we could buy from the States and bring it up. I mean, it has to be inspected, but so I'm sure we can.
Yeah. So if you're looking for an RV, go hit up the old man.
Especially if you're from the States, you get a 30% discount just with $1.
That's a pretty good discount. Can I get a 30% discount?
No. I don't mean like they get a discount. Just their dollars worth 30% more.
Why do the Americans get a discount and I don't?
I don't really like you that much right now.
Well, this is why you don't get to say goodbye at the end of the show.
Fine. Then say goodbye, Jake.
You beautiful people. Appreciate you hanging out tonight. Have yourselves a wonderful night. Mwah, and goodbye.
Goodbye.